If you are a woman in Washington state, chances are you earn less than a man who does the same job. A new report from the advocacy group Women's Funding Alliance shows the gap between what women make and what men make in our state is actually wider than the national average. And when it comes to explaining why women make less, a lot of people point to life balance. Kristen Rowe Finkbeiner is the executive director of Moms Rising. She advocates for women's rights and family economic security. Rowe Finkbeiner told KUOW's Marcy Silman why this term work-life balance itself is problematic.
Sometimes what happens is women think, well, if I could just balance everything a little bit better on the tip of this pencil, then it would all work out. And what that does is it makes it sort of the woman's fault individually. And what we're finding at Moms Rising and in research across the country is that what's happening is we have a modern labor force, but our public policies surrounding raising children haven't caught up to the modern labor force. And so what we like to say is that when this many people are having the exact same problems at the exact same time, we don't have an epidemic of personal failings or an epidemic of people without balance. We have structural issues that we have to address together. And that's been really empowering to people.
What about when it comes to job advancement? We're seeing in this particular Women's Funding Alliance report that women are not moving up the ladder the same way that their male counterparts are.
The bad news is, again, we can look at what's happening with motherhood. One of the things we found, for example, is that with equal resumes and job experiences, women who are moms are hired 80% less of the time and offered $11,000 lower pay. Dads are offered $6,000 more. And here's the kicker to the question that you just asked about an advancement. What we're also finding in those same studies is that moms are penalized and taken off the management track for fewer late days than non-moms. So what we're dealing with here is multiple things at the same time.
I'm with Kristen Rowe Finkbeiner. She's the executive director of Moms Rising. The Women's Funding Alliance report predicts that at the current rate of progress, the gender pay gap will not be closed until the year 2071, which is almost 60 years from now. So do you believe anything can be done to speed that up? And if so, what?
Absolutely. And I have to tell you, I think it has already sped up. We have leaders in Washington State looking at the wage gaps, looking at the fact that the Seattle area has bigger wage gaps for women than the rest of the country and stepping up to take action. Just last week, we saw City Councilwoman Jean Godden leading the way to getting access to paid family leave for all people who work for the city of Seattle. Now, why am I talking about paid family leave when you talked about pay gaps? I'm
right.
Sure all your listeners are like, what is she talking about? Well, studies show that access to paid family leave after the birth of a new baby, access to sick days, access to affordable child care, and access to health care actually significantly help lower the wage gaps between men and women. And so we know that in Washington State, we're paying attention to these issues. All of those issues are being heard right now in the Washington State Legislature, and they will continue to be heard until they pass. But we are moving forward quickly.
What can an individual do to address these issues? Or is there anything that I can do if the policy says, well, you know, this is what your pay is?
Well, first of all, if you are managing people, take a moment when you're doing your hiring to say, why do I want this person? What kind of preconceived ideas do I have about how this person is going to work or not work? Because a lot of people assume that moms are not going to work hard. And I have to tell you, moms are 40% of primary breadwinners for families right now. There is no greater incentive to do a spectacular job than putting a roof over your child's head and food on the table. Plus, and I always have to say this one, in multiple studies of businesses, they've found that having women in leadership brings greater return on investment and greater profits for businesses. So this is a smart thing to do as well.
As you mentioned, more than 80% of women are going to have a baby. 100% of us had a mom. There is the biological reality that if there's a mom and a dad or two moms or two dads, one person had that baby physically. When there are biological realities, how do you even the work playing field? How do you address that?
Well, let's address the giving birth part of the biological situation. And one of the things that's important to notice, and this is a big thing to notice, is that 177 countries have access to paid family leave for new moms. But the United States of America is not one of them. We're the only developed country in the world without this policy. Now, your question really gets at the root of the issue, which is, so is that an economic hit? What happens to the business, what happens to our economy when you have paid family leave? The answer is we have a giant experiment going on right now in the United States of America. It's the state of California, which has 1/5 of our nation's population right there. They have paid family leave. What they've found is that moms are more likely to be back in the labor force a year after giving birth if they have access to paid family leave. In addition, and this is important, taxpayers are happy because we're finding that women who have access to paid family leave need less support like food stamps.
As people listening can tell, we're not talking about a single issue here. The Women's Funding Alliance report talks about everything from the pay gap to the advancement gap to political representation. You have sort of thrown out a bunch of social policy fixes. But when you look at this very complicated puzzle, what do you think is the most fixable thing?
Well, I have to say they're all fixable. Now, you might laugh, and people out there listening might be laughing right now, but one of the things that's important to remember is that there are no easy single solutions. We have a system that has broken down. It doesn't just hurt moms or kids. It's hurting our economy. And one of the things that the Women's Funding Alliance does point out is that if wages were brought to parity, there would be millions of additional dollars into the Washington economy. And I want to take a step back and think about why, right? Why is that? Well, we are consumers, and we are consumers in our consumer-fueled economy. Our economy is fueled 72% by consumer spending, and women make 3/4 of purchasing decisions. So if we don't have money to spend, if we don't get equal pay for equal work, then we all lose out because we're not shopping at the local store, we're not going to the grocery store, and all of the businesses in our communities also take a hit.
Kristen Rowe Finkbeiner, executive director of Moms Rising. They advocate for women's rights and family economic security. She was speaking to KUOW's Marcy Silman. They were talking about a report that shows that the wage gap between men and women is wider in our state than in other parts of the country.